Hey, we're going to bring the Saturday Discovery Day Board Directors meeting to order in closed session. Roll call, please.
President Pease.
Here.
Vice President Leet.
Here.
Director Graves.
Here.
Director Mayer.
Is the other one.
Thank you. And Director Steele.
Here.
Okay. Is there any public comment? Seeing no public present, we will close public comment. Open the discussion disclosure. We're going to go into a closed session and we'll talk about four items and we'll re-adjourn. Okay, we're going to call the meeting of the Town Discovery Bay CSD to order. Roll call, please.
President Pease.
Here.
Vice President Leet.
Here.
Director Graves.
Here.
Director Mayer.
Here.
Director Steele.
Here.
Okay, would you join Director Mayer? Pledge allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we're going to have a change in the agenda. We're going to bring the presentation of the outgoing director to the forefront, and we'll turn this over to staff.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, just on reporting on closed session, if I might, thank you. So the Board of Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors did adjourn from closed session, but adjourned it to, as we didn't complete all the matters, adjourned it to continue at the end of the regular meeting. I can report on items 1 and 2 on the special meeting agenda. There is no reportable action associated with those. Item 3 will be reported after the close of the special meeting, after the close of the regular meeting.
Did you got that?
If you followed that, good luck.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, so I just have a few words to say about Mark Simon. I went through over the last 8 years that Mark has served as a director on this board.
Yes.
We just want to embarrass you just a little bit.
He turns red really well.
I don't want him throwing stuff at me.
That's okay. There has been an awful lot that Mark has done and spent his time with, the hiring of Veolia as the operator for our water and wastewater services, bonds that were issued, and the major construction at Plant 1 for wastewater treatment, the purchase of this community center, the splash pad that we have, a lot of recreation facilities, basketball courts, 2 new water wells. I could go on and on and on, but I did want to give you a couple of highlights of when I asked staff. Mark is retiring after 8 years of service to the community, and what would you say about him? There you go. First of all, from my perspective, since I've been here as an interim general manager for a short period of time, you have been entirely gracious with your time. I've called you on a number of occasions. You are always free with your opinions. Whenever I said, Mark, I could use a sounding board, your answer is, I'm here. What do you need? And I really very much appreciate it. You've always been available, always fully prepared for meetings. Of course, everyone is, but very clear with your opinions and perspectives, which I think is very important for us as a district. What folks said about you, very cost-conscious board member, a pleasure to work with, and here's my favorite, always thought and treated residents' wallet as if it was his own. And I think that really sums up your care with respect to where you watch budgets, you watch the bottom line, you took great care in every decision making, and really, truly, it's been a pleasure. We have 2 presents for you. This one we were really quite proud of, and so are you just going to have to say you like it ahead of time. We have a wonderful photographer, Bill Klipp, who has put a beautiful photo of his of a Discovery Bay sunset with the boat going off, sort of a remembrance that going off into the sunset on your boat. And I think it was placed on metal and it's hangable, and so we were really quite happy when we figured this one out, and we really hope that that represents your future. We hope to see you on the water in Discovery Bay, and sort of from the bottom of our hearts, we are very appreciative for the 8 years that you spent with the town.
Thank you very much.
Oh, no, you can stay right in there.
Yeah, I'll pick your head right
there. I'll move.
Thank you.
There you go. And then you have one behind you, though.
Yeah. Looks like Christmas.
Yeah, we have a box if you want the box.
Mark, from my perspective, I want to thank you for your time you've dedicated to the community. I think you've done a great job.
I did a good job there,
too. That's a good job, too.
It's okay, we got
it. Actually, I don't need the box.
We have something else for you here, another bag of goodies if you'd like to come up.
Thank you very much.
Again, I'd like to appreciate all the work. Well, thank you very much. Go home.
It's been great. It's
been a pleasure working with you.
I have enjoyed it. It's been a great 8 years. Off into the sunset now and retire.
Hey, Mark, before you go, I just a couple of words. You were on the board when I came on the board 7 years ago. I want to thank you for your leadership, your guidance, although we didn't always agree on everything, we always had great discussions. You were always a good listener. I want to tell you I appreciate that. Some of the former board members also couldn't be here tonight, wanted me to express their appreciation for what you've done for the community. And again, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
There's another presentation over here, looks like.
Good evening. My name is George Scipio. I'm with the Office of California State Senator Steve Glazer. And I have a certificate of recognition for Mr. Marcus Simon. And so I'm going to read a little bit of it to you, hopefully, I have dates and information correctly. So, whereas Marcus Simon has committed 8 years of dedicated service on the Town of Discovery Bay Community Services District Board of Directors, and it is appropriate to highlight his many achievements and accomplishments, and I extend special recognition to him for his civic leadership. And whereas Mark Simon's service to the Town of Discovery Bay Community Services District has been commendable, first elected to the Board of Directors in 2008 and re-elected in 2012, he has served the board as vice president and president. And whereas during Mark Simon's service on the board of directors, the Town of Discovery Bay Community Service District completed the purchase, renovation, and opening of an long-awaited community center, expanded and improved the community's recreation options with a new water attraction for children, a new basketball court, renovated tennis courts, and the construction of the pickleball courts, as well as secured funding and began construction on major infrastructure projects, including two new water wells and landscape improvements. And whereas Mark Simon has continuously given back to the Discovery Bay community through his commitment to family, profession, and civic duty, and through his membership in the Discovery Bay Chamber of Commerce, Discovery Bay Yacht Club, and the Discovery Bay Lions Club, be it resolved by Senator Stephen M. Glazer that Mark S. Simon of Contra Costa County, California, is commended and recognized for his commitment to the Town of Discovery Bay Community Service District and beyond. Thank you.
Member Pease, if I just indicate for the record. So we're doing this as ceremonial. He was sworn in earlier today, completed the necessary forms sworn in, but we wanted to do something ceremonial for a photograph for the website. Welcome.
And after seeing Mark, if
Oh, yeah, he didn't wake it up. He was pretty good.
All right, well, welcome aboard officially, and you're here. And with that, we're going to continue on with our agenda. And at this particular point in the meeting, we're going to open up to public comments. The public can talk to us on any item that is not on our agenda. And I have a couple of cards here. Hal, is it Hal?
Right.
Yes.
Right. All right, thank you, gentlemen. So my name is Hal Bray. I represent a group called East County Voters for Equal Protection. The last time that I was here, we talked about whether it was legal or illegal to reallocate property taxes. There was a disagreement. And following that, I sent an email, and I've given Carol a copy of the email exchange between myself and Bob Campbell. Bob Campbell is the county controller. And I asked him if it was legal to reallocate property taxes for cities and special districts without any action by the state legislature, that if those cities and special districts followed the procedures in the Revenue and Taxation Code, would he allocate the property taxes if a county or if a city or special district sent him a tax transfer agreement? And his answer, as you'll see here, that's the top email, is yes. They follow the procedure, and they send me a tax transfer agreement. My office will reallocate property taxes without any action by the state legislature. So I just wanted you to know, see this tonight, and to know that if we keep working on this, you know, the city of Brentwood and the city of Oakley had a utility tax on the ballot to fund the fire district, and that failed. And we have not given up our pursuit of reallocating the property taxes to fund the district. We've hired a consultant to conduct a workshop the first week in February. We will be inviting you to the workshop, as well as the other agencies in East County. And we hope to see this all the way through and fund the fire district. And I'm not here to talk about the other agenda item, but if you'd like me to stay and talk about that, I certainly.
You know, I should have mentioned it earlier. Public comments, we have a 3 minute time. So.
Thank you.
For the next commenter, is a green light over here. When it gets red, I'm going to have to ask you to sit down so we can carry on. But anyway, the next is Terry Laughlin.
Actually, I'd like to give my 3 minutes to Bill because he's much more prepared than I am.
Fine. Well, you don't get 6 minutes. You get 3 minutes.
No, I ought to be able to get.
No.
No. 3 minutes, that's it.
No. Not Robert's rules,
but okay. Based on the newspaper, I'm sorry, my name is Bill Helfrich. I live at 661 Beaver Court here in Discovery Bay. Based on the newspaper article in the Discovery Bay Press of December 2nd, it says that there will be a charge of $875 to install a water meter. Reading the draft notes from your special meeting on November 29th, you seem to have a discussion of those costs. Maybe I don't understand, but the minutes said that the majority of the installation costs were at a $290 level, that $500 would be at a $100 level, and $400 to $500 would be at a $950 level, and one would cost $15,000. It also says that the board concurred by consensus that the construction costs for the types 1 through 3 would vary from approximately $100 to $950 would be collectively included with the base cost, which would be charged equally to the residents receiving the meter. My water meter box is, and I was driving down Beaver Court and Beaver Lane, I would say 90% of them were accessible. You could actually see them as you drove by. And I don't see where an $875 charge is either fair or represents the actual cost to do it. Second thing I had on this was that the article said that we hired a temporary staff, Carol Rudy, for this water meter installation, I guess, to interface with people with questions. And I had a question as whether that was a temporary or permanent position.
Temporary.
The problem I had with that is in the water rate study, table 5, page 9 of the water rate study, they have a line item that was for a water technician. And if that's the same one, that line item is expanded all the way through the 5 years of the study with a 5% inflation. So it seems to conflict as to whether that's permanent or temporary position. And that's what I have on the uncharted.
Yeah, that's different for your question. Okay. Is there any other public comment? Yes, sir.
My name is Terry Mahaney. I'm here again this month to complain about the speed and distracted driving in Discovery Bay. I live on Discovery Bay Boulevard, and within the last month, I haven't seen any change. It's getting faster and faster. The weekends are getting very, very terrible. I mean, really, really bad. These great big high-rise trucks are just blasting through the town, and it's just getting really bad. I was riding my bike over on Willow Lake the other day, almost got ran over by a Jeep. And as I get up to these guys doing road work right in the middle of the road, a guy standing there holding the slow sign. And I said, hey, did that guy slow down? He goes, no. And I said, you guys got to call the CHP on something like that. And he said, well, yeah, we really do. So somebody's going to get hurt really, really bad out here. And if you folks are tired of it, you have to call the CHP or stand up and voice your opinion so the CHP can hear you. I don't see a CHP representative tonight, so all this is just going to waste, really, unless you guys can help out with the issues that we have around here with speed, reckless driving, distracted driving. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there any other public comment?
I did submit a card, so.
Oh, I thought that was the same.
No, go ahead. Well, I just wanted to formally introduce myself. My name is George Scutia Jr. I am the senior field representative for Senator Steve Glaser. You guys are in the 7th Senate District. I'm here with Marcel Colwell, who is also a field representative for Senator Glaser. I wanted to say that this is hopefully the first of many visits that I make out to Discovery Bay on behalf of the senator, as well as one of, hopefully the senator will be out as well. Discovery Bay has some very unique challenges, and just by construction and by location, and we hope to be a partner in helping you achieve your goals. I am always available for your needs and for the needs of your constituents, so if you have any questions, problems, something that we can assist you with, something to help you cut through the bureaucracy of the state, I hope you'll reach out to me, and I hope that in the next coming, after the new year, that I'll be able to meet with each and every one of you to get to know you better, as well as you get to know me better, and how we can work together to make this quickly an amazing place.
All right, well, thank you for taking the time, George. We will definitely talk.
Definitely.
Okay, is there any other public comment? Seeing none, I'm closing public comment, and we're going to area agency reports, and it just happens that the Sheriff's Department is up next, and I think they can give us an update, amongst other things, about the new radar system that the Sheriff's Department is going to put in place. So they're going to augment the CHP for speeding. This is one of those things that be careful what you wish for. There may be some tickets due.
Good evening, everyone. To start off with the month of November, we had 405 calls for service to the Sheriff's Department in the Discovery Bay area, and we took 27 reports. In comparison to the October, which had 548, there's a lot more calls, and almost double the reports. So less calls, less reports. But on a good note, first of all, if you look at the stats, the property crimes that we did have, we had a total of nine. One was, we couldn't identify, it was a broken window in a truck, took some property out of that. Another one was a an RV was hit in one of the score yards. But the other one, all the other stuff, we kind of identified who it may be, either somebody that lived in a residence or identified somebody in that nature that was involved with that theft. There was a shoplifting type at the Safeway. I guess they took the whole lottery ticket thing with them. But on a good note, about 4 days later, we found the lottery thing with a bunch of tickets in it, unscratched. So I don't know how they actually may offer. Radar. Pleasant Avenue, that's the new school. They are starting the operations of holding that little LIDAR. The cars are getting worked on as we speak to get them installed on the units. But we do have our officers, and I'll give you some numbers real quick. For normal traffic in the month of October, officers pulling people over, you know, acting fool, reckless driving, or running stop signs, we have about 36 of them in October. So for the about, I'd say maybe a week that these guys have been running, the last week of November, we've had 53 traffic stops by these officers. So it's gone up. I expect that probably to go up even more. I'm not saying it's all going to be tickets. The officers have more of an educational tool out there. We want to make sure everybody drives safely and stuff out there. But our guys are there. They are trained. They got the handheld devices, and they will be out and about doing what they need to do. You do have certain areas, you know, if you can let me know, kind of narrow the time frame down so I can let the officers know. We'll put together a game plan for these guys to hit certain areas. In communication with CHP, try to work with them too if we can get them on board, get them together at the same time. So, everything's looking good.
Great. Thank you. Also, could you make an announcement on when the P6 committee, that's the community's opportunity to drop directly to the sheriff's office, when is that meeting?
I wish she was here because she always tells me what it is. I wasn't at the last one, so I didn't get the. It's usually every quarter. And forgive me, but I doubt.
Is that on our website?
It's January 11th.
Is it on our website?
January 11th. Okay, January 11th, and I should be at that one. It's a great time to come out. We'll give the stats. You can talk to the lieutenant itself and express whatever sheriff's department concerns that you have. On a side note, we did get the CSO approved. Community Sheriff's Office. The lieutenant did put an open bid out. We did get some folks that applied for it. He is making his decision. I don't know the time frame when we'll be able to have that person start working out here. But just an example for CSO parking tickets, we had 105 in November. So
you show CSO means?
Community Sheriff's Office. It's the one that does all the parking enforcement. Because that seems to be one of another issue out here that we're dealing with. There's a lot of parking issues. So again, as everyone knows, CHP handles all that. The sheriff has been implementing the CSO and the radar out here, so we can kind of augment that coverage.
I just want to, if you'll enforce the open, leaving things out in the open in your car this time of year. I know that there's been several county buildings that have been hit really hard, and like right where the DA's office is up in Martinez with people just coming by. If you leave something in your car, the big thing is now they just break the window, reach in, take it, and it's gone. I carry a towel with me, and if I have my backpack in the car and I'm not taking it with me, I cover it with a black towel, so at least, because they won't, if they don't see it, they typically won't do it. So I think that's a huge thing out here, is to make sure that we don't leave stuff in the cars visible from the outside, because it's amazing how bold these people are. I watched a guy on a bike break a window, reach in, take the backpack, and it's gone.
And if you indulge me for maybe 3 minutes, and I'll go over real quick tips on stuff. It's Christmas time. People know you're going shopping. You're at the shopping mall. You run in. You buy all these nice stuff. You come out, throw it in your car because you can't carry it all. You go back to the mall. get your car, drive to the other side of the parking lot, whatever, park somewhere else, that way they don't know that you just got a car full of stuff and they can't collect. Like he said, take things out of your car. When you park your car at home, lock it, check the door, walk around it, you see anything in it, open your car, take it out. People will break the window and take it, even if it's an empty bag. You think it's empty, they think there's something in there. I think it was the month before in October, we had one who broke the window in Discovery Bay just to take the jacket because he was cold. It's ridiculous. We just recovered, I think, who's working on that? We just recovered, I think, a U-Haul or a bunch of, I think the person had 50 or 60 different IDs. People's same name, same picture, different names, addresses. ID theft is really out there. Get your mail every day. You can't get your mail, have your neighbor get your mail. People walk the streets at night and they check mailboxes and they check cars. They do. Don't think they don't, but they do. We always get calls for suspicious persons and vehicles. These guys are in marked cars. You can see them, you know what cops are. When they come around the corner, they're gonna hide and it's hard for those guys to see them. You guys need to just call it in. Suspicious persons, suspicious vehicles through your neighborhood. Please call it in. Let these guys know what's going on. Short, sweet, to the point.
Do you have a target date for when the radar is going to be in?
They're running actual handheld radar right now.
Oh,
they are.
These are officers.
We got Sergeant. She's our Sergeant for swing shift, and that is your resident deputy right back there. Awesome. He's been doing the radar for the last couple of weeks, so.
Remember his face.
Oh, he will.
That's not how I meant it. I saw you guys parked over by the pump house with the lighter out the window.
Yeah, they're going to do it. And the cars, I don't know how long it takes for the radars to get equipped and get the cars all up and running on that, which will make it a lot easier for these guys. Instead of just in a stationary spot. But anyway, have a good holiday, guys. Be safe. And
Thank you, Tony.
Enjoy.
Okay. CHP would normally give a report if they're in the area. I don't see them unless there's a civilian call. CHP must be out. So that's the end of the area reports. Do we have any committee reports? Trans plan report, county planning, code enforcement?
No.
Okay. And we've done recognition. So at this point, we're going to move on to the consent calendar. And I'm going to go consent calendar items 1, 2, 3, and 4. And some of them.
What's your 4?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
I abstained.
Because
I was not involved in those meetings.
Perfect. Now, we're going to go to consent calendar number 5 and number 6, approving district invoices and authorizing contract. All those in favor?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
I'm sorry, Mr. President. He does have an opportunity to comment on any item on the agenda, so he can comment on the consent calendar in any particular item. Apologize.
Apologize for that.
I have two questions on the consent calendar. Items have 5. California Special District Association 2017 membership dues was approximately $6,500. What are we getting for that $6,500?
Finish your questions, the staff will answer.
And then there is a line item, SWRCD, supporter RS-2036-0565, settlement agreement. For $180,828, I'd like to know what that was.
And I'm sorry, what was the first one that you said?
$65,000 special district.
It sounds like a dues.
$6,500 special district.
It's annual dues.
Annual dues.
Annual dues to?
Special district.
Oh, it's the annual dues. Thank you. This is a group answer. Annual dues to the Special District Association.
And there's where my question is. That's over almost $6,500. What does it do for us? Questions. Other than you're a member.
They do education, they do lobbying, they are legislative advocates.
It's about 3,000 special districts in total.
Okay.
And may I answer the second one, and if there are any follow-up questions, it would be appropriate that outside of this meeting, that I'd be happy to answer any of those questions.
Great.
So the second one, the $180,000, was a settlement of a, would you like to answer that? The $180,000 to the Regional Water Quality Control Board was the resolution of a wastewater spill that happened in 2014.
That's correct. There was a 2014 wastewater spill. We received a civil complaint from the Regional Water Quality Control Board. A settlement was negotiated and entered into with the regional board for that amount.
Item F6.
Okay.
I assume you're talking about a accounting, certified public accounting firm doing an audit.
Start over.
And I wanted to know what the scope of the audit was. And I wanted to know if it would include attesting that the revenue rates are in compliance with the requirement that the rates can't be set any higher than the actual cost of providing services.
And we will take those questions and respond. We can respond to this gentleman after tomorrow. We'd be happy to do that.
Sure. Thank you. Okay, we're going to go to business and action items. This is action item G1, accept report from the recreation program supervisor.
Thank you, and Maxa.
All right, good evening. Let's see. In April of 2016, the Discovery Bay Tennis Pickleball Committee submitted correspondence to the town of Discovery Bay regarding the proposed conversion of two community center tennis courts to pickleball use and requested an opportunity to present a new proposal to the town board of directors at the June 1st meeting. On June 1st of this year, the Discovery Bay Tennis Pickleball Committee presented their written proposal to the board of directors outlining their opposition to the conversion of two community center tennis courts to pickleball and instead proposed the remaining tennis court at Cornell Park be converted to pickleball instead. Per the Discovery Bay Tennis Pickleball Committee members' proposal, the group indicated that it was almost unanimous that the community would best be served by keeping all pickleball at Cornell Park. Again, this would be accomplished by converting the remaining tennis court at Cornell Park to pickleball and repairing the two tennis courts here at the community center at a future time when funds become available. On November 15th, staff met with representatives from the Discovery Bay Tennis Pickleball Committee. I should probably create an acronym for that. To again discuss the current town proposal, the group submitted the proposal and related issues. As community pickleball tennis players continue to oppose the original concept of converting the two community center tennis courts to pickleball, staff and representatives from the community tennis pickleball committee agreed to drop the conversion of two community center tennis courts to pickleball and agreed to discuss at a future meeting the reallocation of PG&E funds to better meet those needs as presented in their proposal. Therefore, based on the outcome of the November 15th meeting, staff recommends maintaining the community center tennis courts number 3 and 4 for tennis only, maintain the Cornell Park pickleball court tennis court as currently configured, and as the approved list of eligible projects from the February 17th board meeting for the PG&E funding is completed, to revisit the currently approved allocation of funding and reallocate those remaining funds to a midterm solution for the expansion of pickleball on the Cornell Park tennis courts. Any questions?
Is there any public comment?
I think we might.
Hi again. My name is Randy Ford, and I live in Discovery Bay. I'm in Portland. And I just want to thank you for hearing us and, you know, looking at the work the tennis group and the pickleball players have done. And I just want to reinforce that we do need more tennis courts, I mean, more pickleball courts. And the reason for that is we have a lot of new people coming out to play. And what we're finding is they're having to sit on a bench, which they lose interest because when they come up to play one number of time. So I just want to reiterate that thank you for listening to us. And the sooner we can have the boards, the better. We did do our, last time I spoke, I mentioned to you do attendance as people come out. We capture their email and we encourage them to teach them. And we have the stats from last year to this year. We've been growing year over year. The interest in pickleball is growing nationwide, not only in Discovery Bay. But from last year to this year, we've had a 15% growth increase. And I've asked Matt to distribute that to you. So again, you know, the sooner the better. Pickleball is wonderful. I encourage you all to come out and play. I am booked. And thank you for listening to us.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this report? Any questions?
I just want, where's Matt? Matt,
yes.
Just for clarification, so what you're saying is that the proposal that you brought in front of us is eliminating all the tennis courts at Cornell Park, is that correct?
That would be correct. Now, per PG&E funding, it may be a stopgap measure to start in terms of some temporary setup, but again, we need to go through the PG&E funds right now as we finish these projects here and look at what was allocated to convert those two tennis courts, what's left. Perhaps there's enough money to go at least a stopgap measure over at Cornell Park.
So question might be more for Catherine. Do we have an estimate of the time when we will have the accounting done for the PG&E funds and what might be available?
I don't think that that will take much time. I would say certainly within 30 days. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, we're getting pretty close right now. Once this
gets
finished, we're going to kind of know because the roofing was over budget.
We'll kind of know where we are.
Yes.
So it's all dependent.
And I just did want to clarify that the recommended action does say, so it really is a reversal of the decision that was made before based on the input from the tennis and the pickleball group. But at this time, it does say maintain the current configuration of the pickleball tennis court at Cornell Park, maintain it as it is, but to look for opportunities to expand pickleball at Cornell Park, which is the preferred, the correct, desired location. So that's where the future of pickleball will be.
I think we're just accepting the report today, correct?
We're asking to approve our recommendation.
This is... One second. Is there some more public comment?
I just heard the...
you got your answer.
They're wanting to take away the tennis court at Cornell.
The remaining one is
at this point in the
discussion.
Right?
Yeah, there were two originally, and that was previous. So there's one that was converted, if I understand it correctly, to pickleball. And so now the proposal is rather than to convert these two tennis courts, is to convert the remaining ones. So pickleball is all in one location, tennis is all over here.
Can I ask Mr. if you can come to the
podium?
And it's just then we can record all of what you're going to say.
My name is Kirby Hall. I live on Cabela Point. I just heard you say that, so I was just going to say, like, me and my wife, we go and play tennis at Cornell. And the reason being is because my 2-year-old daughter can ride around her back on the little course thing with my 12-year-old son. So I would just make it on the record. I wouldn't like that tennis court to be taken away just for that purpose. There's not a bike path over.
We're still in the discussion stage and we're still in the funding stage. We're still in the final decision hasn't been, won't be made this evening.
Oh, yeah. I just want to
thank you
for
input,
that, though.
I know we're not going to make decisions tonight as far as going to build out more courts and all that stuff, but I don't want to lose the capability of having tennis at Cornell Park. And if there's future expansion and we have budgets for that, we can work on those things. And so I still enjoy having the two locations for tennis, and my friends do too, and I think a lot of people are used to that. But I do agree that at some point in the future, if there's a budget or there's funding or a public-private, you know, cooperation there, I can see some more newer courts be put in next to the existing at Cornell of some sort. So thank you.
Any other comments?
Yeah. Matt, this is a consensus of the pickleball and tennis players, correct?
Correct.
So this will, further, it's not going to satisfy everybody, but it satisfies them enough that they can live with this on an interim basis.
Correct.
I just have a clarification here. So I'm looking at item G1. It says accept the report from the recreation, which means to me that we're acknowledging the information that we're being given. But I'm hearing from our general manager that we are approving something, and I don't know that we're approving anything according to the agenda.
I don't think we've had enough time to approve it.
Okay. So thank you for the report. I accept it.
I think it's more appropriate to take action on this once we verify where the funding is. I don't want to pose disappointment if we take some formal action at this point and aren't able to fulfill that down the road. It doesn't bear well for the board. It definitely is on record, and we definitely know what the desires of this people, all people are. It's all up to money.
That's good.
Thank you. Okay.
So I missed a motion and a second to accept the report.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. We're going to go to G2. Approve a general services contract. Steph.
Thank you. The engineering firm of Ludolf and Scalmanini is currently on contract with the district under a few contracts, but they do have a general services contract to provide engineering support for the district. This item is to authorize an increase in the payment amount by $185,000 to allow for three roles. One is project management, construction management, and also inspection services for the water meter installation completion project. I'd like to emphasize this is at a staff time and materials basis. We utilize what we need, and it will not exceed that amount. If we need less than that, it'll be less than that. One of the key items in here, probably the largest item, is an additional inspector just to ensure that we can keep up during the project, but we will utilize that person on a day-by-day basis as the need may be. We can send them home whenever we don't need them. So this is the maximum amount requested.
Is there any public comment? Yes, sir.
I question the need to spend $185,000 for to supervise a contract that you've let with a reputable contractor. That's my comment on the thing. I just think you're wasting money.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item? Bring it back to the board for discussion.
For clarification purposes, this is budgeted money that was in the original budget for the water meter project, correct? This is an additional. This is part of the budget for the water meter project that we reviewed.
That is correct. Thanks. This is part of that.
And this is consistent with the discussions we had at the public workshop.
This is consistent with that. Yes, right. And one of the roles that the district is doing is inspecting to ensure that items are installed properly, that there's the proper quality of control of the system, and I think that that's imperative to a construction project. Inspection services are needed.
This is no different than a major construction site where your contractor would get awarded a bid, and you would have a construction manager team over the top of them making sure they are doing what they're supposed to do, even if they're the building inspector from the county. That's exactly what's happening here. We're going to have a 3,500 miniature projects going on a systematic basis, and we are limited in staff, so we had to hire some additional help to make that happen. Do I hear any other comments from the board?
Yeah, based on the residents' comment, what would be the impact if we did not spend this $185,000? Do we know the answer to that?
You would have an unacceptable oversight of a $3 million project. You would not have assurance. You would be relying solely on a contractor with no oversight. No matter how good a contractor is, their job is to finish things as quickly as they can. And it is the district's, it's imperative on the district to properly oversee a $3 million project to ensure that no corners have been cut as we go through. To assert that a project of this scale could go on without inspection would have the same approach to think that a building would be constructed without building inspection services, or that the roof would be put on and that we wouldn't have gone and gotten a building permit from the county, or that someone's home could be built and there would be no inspections. It is an acceptable and expected process in construction to ensure that you have inspections, particularly when, in this case, these meters it's imperative that they be placed in correctly. If they are not, we will have leaks, and those leaks could end up with significant repair costs on the order of perhaps, you know, 10. I've seen a leak bill sometimes are $10,000 or $15,000 to repair in the district. And this, when you spread the $185,000 among the 3,500, that is a much smaller number. We're probably talking about on the scope of, I don't have my calculator with me, but that's a much smaller, way less than $1,000, you know, probably $100 or something.
Thank you.
$50. $50.
Is there any other comments from the board?
I have one more comment.
I think he gets one shot.
It's his discretion.
We've already closed some of the comments.
On,
go ahead, finish what you have to say.
Well, because you've opened it, I hear that the inspection is very important. And the inspection portion, if I read this, is only about $55,000. So, you know, maybe you should consider hiring them for the inspection at a much lower rate.
Oh, sir. Thanks for your comments. I think we've explained it adequately. Well, public comment is now closed. Is there any more discussion on the board? Do I hear motions?
So move the staff recommendation.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, we're going to go to item G3. Which is an acceptable report from our financing advisor, staff.
Thank you very much. The district last year contracted with Saul Rosenbaum as the financial advisor for the wastewater revenue bond project, and that is the issuance of bonds for the purpose of funding the $7.5 million mandated project at the wastewater treatment plant 2. And we have brought various issues to you over the past several months. And at the last time we discussed financing issues, I think the chair suggested that we bring back a couple of questions back to the board for discussion. And so we've asked Saul to come this evening to talk about the advantages and disadvantages of some key terms related to both amortization and redemption provisions, and then we are looking for direction and input from you at the conclusion of his presentation. I also want to highlight that we have Rick Brandis, you want to raise your hand, who is also on contract with the district, is the underwriter that was approved by the board, I believe, last month, I think, after a competitive process. So, Saul, I'll turn this over to you.
Good evening. Thank you.
You're going to need to wait until she gets the presentation up for just a second.
Turn it on from higher headquarters over there.
One, the right click?
Pointer. He's asking which one the pointer is.
Pointer doesn't work on
There's no pointer. It's just a...
Okay.
We'll work on the screen.
This is your pointer. Good evening. Thank you, everyone. My name is Saul Rosenbaum. Catherine, thank you for the overview and summary. I'm a managing director and principal with Prager and Company. And as Catherine mentioned, we have been selected to serve as the district's financial advisor for the wastewater capital improvement project revenue bond financing. This is not an action item before you tonight, as I understand it. At a future board meeting, the board is going to be asked to consider a resolution authorizing the incurrence and issuance of debt related to the projects that are being discussed tonight with respect to the wastewater capital improvements program. What we'd like to do with this is just to, this process has been unfolding, and to advise you of some of the progress that we're making, and to get, as Catherine mentioned, get your input and contribution to some key decisions that we discussed with you previously at the October board meeting, but also wanted to bring it back to you tonight for further consideration. I'm trying to figure out how to do this without a pointer. There's a lot of detail here. I'll just give you the highlights. The gray bars represent the debt service associated with the existing wastewater improvement bonds. Now, as Catherine mentioned, the district is considering the incurrence of an additional $7.5 million of wastewater improvement bonds. And the question is, how do we amortize those bonds? Do we amortize those bonds in a manner that produces level debt service with respect to the proposed 2017 bonds only, or do we amortize those bonds in a manner which, when combined with the existing 2012 bonds that are allocable to the wastewater improvements, produces level debt service on an aggregate basis? So the gray, again, is the existing wastewater improvement bonds from 2012 in both cases. And the question is, with respect to the proposed 2017 debt, do we amortize that debt in a manner which, when combined with the 2012 debt, produces level debt service like shown here? Or do we amortize the 2017 debt in a manner that is level with respect just to the 2017 debt, and when combined with the 2012 debt, produces overall level debt service that looks like this? It may seem like a mere detail, but it is important. Let me say that if the proposed bonds are amortized in a manner to produce level debt service on a standalone basis, the average annual debt service will be approximately $430,000, and the true interest cost, which is the all-in cost of funds, will be, in today's, based on prevailing interest rates, roughly 4.18. If the proposed 2017 bonds are amortized in a manner which, when combined with 2012 bonds, produces overall level debt service, then the 2017 debt service will be roughly $373,000 between 2017 and 2042. And then, and you can see, when the 2012 bonds go away here, this is the final, then we are wrapping the proposed debt service around. So the amortization of the 2017 debt service jumps up to over $1 million between 2043 and 2047. This is 30-year fully amortizing debt. So that's the question before you tonight. Level debt service on a standalone basis for the proposed 2017 wastewater debt, or level debt service on a portfolio basis, portfolio being defined as when combined with the existing wastewater bonds.
Question for you. If discussing each of those options,
yes.
When you go out to market these bonds, is there any difference in the interest rate that we would have to pay one versus the other option?
No. There's no difference in the interest rate per maturity that you would pay. But it does change since you are, as you see here, on a standalone basis, the all-in cost of funds is 4.18 based on prevailing interest rates. On a portfolio basis, the interest cost would be 4.3. Why is that? Because you're pushing principal out into further years, and by virtue of the term structure of interest rates, principal that matures farther out in the future is going to carry a higher interest rate.
But the portfolio is that going to be the same, or will it be different? When you look at the total portfolio on the top versus the total portfolio on the bottom, what is the aggregate?
The bottom is the aggregate.
And that would be more expensive.
The bottom is the aggregate, and the reason that it's more expensive is the blue represents the principal amortization of the proposed bonds. So you can see this. And then with the wraparound structure, you amortize very little principal until here. So you're pushing the principal out. Does that answer your question?
So that the rate on the 2017 issue is going to be a much higher rate than if you've done it under the time structure.
If we amortize the debt under the top option, this will be the all-in cost of funds. If you amortize it in a manner to produce level debt service, then this is going to be the rate. Now, it's important to keep in mind, also, this is a good time to introduce this. Part of what's going to inform this discussion, and this decision, I should say, is the district's expectations for the future direction of interest rates, and combined with the district's expectations for the need to incur debt in the future with respect to its wastewater enterprise. The reason that that's important is because it's important to consider whether or not the district believes that rates are currently relatively low historically, and whether the district believes that in a future environment, rates might be higher, right? So, and the reason I say that is that if the belief is that rates are relatively low today, and they're going to be higher in the future, then the district is not going to want to be in a situation in the future where it is filling this in with relatively expensive high interest rate debt. It is doing that today with relatively low interest rate debt. So let me go to jump ahead to this. I didn't present this slide in the context of this discussion, but I think it's helpful. This is a histogram of interest rates for 30-year tax exempt debt over the last 47 years. And what this histogram says is that over the last 47 years, rates have been as low as they are now, less than 20% of the time, 16.75% of the time to be exact, which means that almost 85% of the time over the last 47 years, interest rates have been higher. That notwithstanding the fact that since roughly October, there has been a significant deterioration in the interest rate environment. So notwithstanding that, interest rates remain relatively low. The question that the district needs to think about is kind of strategically pondering its future capital improvement plans. Will interest rates be higher in the future, and will you wish that you would have placed principal amortization further at relatively low interest rates? Now, another there's only two things that we wanted to discuss with you tonight. The first is the amortization, and the second has to do with the redemption provisions. The standard redemption provision with tax exempt debt is something along the lines of the borrower, in this case the district, can redeem the debt, that is, pay the bonds off early, call the bonds away from bondholders. With no penalty in 10 years. That's a standard, that's what we call standard redemption provision. During earlier discussions with the district, the question was raised is, would the district like the opportunity to be able to redeem debt far earlier than usual. We call that an extraordinary redemption provision. Let's say there's a service area of the district where there might be significant developer fees in the future. The district might want to have the opportunity to use those developer fees to redeem debt. Now, the same question that we were talking about earlier comes into mind with that, too, because if that's a higher interest rate environment, why would you want to pay down relatively cheap debt in a higher interest rate environment, especially if as a perpetual entity, there is no doubt going to be times in the future where the district is going to need to fund mission-critical capital projects with either debt or reserves. If debt in a higher interest rate environment, you'll be funding those in a higher interest rate environment. So at any rate, we wanted to be responsive to the question. And the question was, what would it cost to have the flexibility to call the bonds away from bondholders extraordinarily earlier? So what you see in the two scenarios we just discussed, the standalone level and the portfolio level, in the standalone level, the total debt service would be $13,300,000 over a 30-year period. That's all the principal and interest associated with the debt. In the event that the district chose to incorporate an extraordinary redemption provision into the debt, then bondholders are going to need to be compensated for the possibility that their bonds could be called away from them in a higher interest rate. In a lower interest rate environment. In that case, the total debt service would be roughly $250,000 higher over the term of the financing. Similarly, with the portfolio level, total debt service would be $15,228,000 over the term of the financing, and roughly $15,400,000 with the extraordinary redemption provision. So the question was, what would the cost be associated with the optionality or flexibility to have this extraordinary redemption provision? And we're saying, based on prevailing rates, about $250,000 over the term of the loan, or about $20,000 a year. So those are the items that we just wanted to bring before you. Again, I don't believe that this is an action item for your consideration, but in a future board meeting, when you're asked to consider a resolution authorizing the occurrence of debt, we will need to have the answers to these questions so that we know how to structure the debt tailored to the community district's plans.
If I'm reading the chart right, it looks like it's cost the district about $2 million additional to do the portfolio level versus the standard.
That is correct. That is correct. I'm hesitating because let me back up. The blue. Remember, the blue is the. Is the proposed debt. So that is correct that you're pushing principal in the wrap scenario, what I'll call a wrap scenario, out into the later years, 2043 to 2047. That principal is being pushed out at a higher interest rate, and therefore the total cost is indeed higher. What you end up with, the reason I'm pausing, the reason I'd be hesitating if I were you, and this is what I want to draw your attention to, there's no right or wrong, but it does need careful consideration. If you do this, if you amortize debt in this fashion, in the prevailing interest rate environment, you end up with this. And what this represents is future debt capacity, which is to say that if in the future the district wants to or needs to incur debt to fund mission-critical capital projects, and it does not want to, for lack of better words, unduly stress its operating budget, then it's going to want to push out and amortize debt here to create something that resembles level debt service for the wastewater enterprise on a portfolio basis. So this is, you've really touched on the crux of the of the consideration. Do you go for the lower total debt service cost today and end up with this? Or do you, knowing that there will be future projects that need to be funded from either debt or reserves, and lock in the cost of funding, I think that's my 3 minutes.
You get more.
Lock in the cost of funding today. Again, these are on a historical basis, those are relatively low interest rates. The point that I'm looking to emphasize is, and again, decisions don't need to be made tonight, but this is a relatively strategic consideration and a decision that needs to be made with respect to the district's debt portfolio.
And also, if I take a look at the annual debt service under the first scenario, it's about $437, and under the portfolio loan, it's about $373. So that's about $64,000 a year difference. Correct. Out to 2042.
Yes.
If I multiply that during those years, it's about $1.6 million less payment. But I haven't done the last 3 years.
Well, if I were you, I'd be less concerned with the total, because it is true you're pushing principal and again, there's no right or wrong here. Pushing principal out is definitely going to be more expensive. What I would be focused on in what you just said is the fact that, well, what I heard you say is that as a budgetary matter, mm-hmm. just as a matter of budgetary matter, the portfolio level debt service scenario is going to have less of an impact on your operating budget.
Correct.
Yeah.
Until we hit 2044.
Well, of course, because if you did it this way, you're going to have a dramatic drop off. This is going to be your impact on your operating budget if you do it this way.
Right.
If you do it this way, then it's just going to go along as. You will have, you know, one could argue that the district will have become accustomed to that payment. Now, another thing to keep in mind is what this doesn't take into account is the effect of inflation. If inflation increases at any percent above zero, 1 or 2%, then on an inflation-adjusted basis, the cost. These stay the same. These aren't affected by inflation. But on an inflation-adjusted basis, the burden on the budget, assuming the budget grows 2 or 3% a year, becomes less. So that's something to consider too. It sounds more esoteric than it really is, because inflation is just a factor of life.
May I ask a question, Saul? I actually put down in the board's agenda item to provide direction, to accept direction from the board related to the amortization and redemption options. And you said in your opening statement that you don't need direction from the board today. At what point will those decisions need to be made?
Certainly by the time that the district considers a resolution authorizing the incurrence of debt, we would need to know that.
And isn't that scheduled for the, didn't we have that scheduled for the meeting of the 21st?
Yes, that's
Is that the resolution?
Yes, that's my understanding.
Okay, so at the board still has the opportunity on the 21st to consider this and give direction at that time, and it's not too late for them to provide direction then on the 21st.
So
the resolution is going to...
As far as I'm concerned, does anyone see things differently?
Okay, I just want to make...
In my experience in working with bonds, and maybe we turned underwriter counsel, but the underwriter, but the resolution is going to have the exhibit and attachment that's going to have that schedule in there, and you'll have to pick by the time the resolution's there, because you're going to have a packet before the board that includes the indebtedness that you're otherwise incurring, and the resolution will be a final, so you won't be able to change. They need to have all the information in front of them on the 21st. If you can change and have two packets available that would go with the resolution, then that would be fine if you can wait that long. So, but I don't know that I've ever had anybody wait quite that long.
So in my experience, what the resolution is going to include are not to exceed parameters.
Okay.
And so that, in an effort, in the spirit of addressing your considerations, it would have a not to exceed par amount, a not to exceed interest rate, and a not to exceed term. And so what we would use is the more conservative, higher costed, more expensive scenario for those not to exceed parameters, and that would allow the district to do something less. Now, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to. That was my understanding that this was just to hear my report.
Yeah.
But if the desire was to get a decision and direction on this, then that's fine too.
No, it's okay. I just want to make sure that the board has the opportunity and that we don't have a time clock. So then you can either provide direction today, or if you'd like to take this under advisement, and we do have resolutions that will be on your agenda on the 21st, you can then come back at that point with what your, and have some more discussion and make a decision at that time. So I just want to make sure that you have time for that.
I think we're probably not going to reach a conclusion this evening, but I do think the board needs to have a little bit of a discussion to kind of get a sense, because all we're doing, if we just hear the report today, and if we wait till the 21st, we're going to have a big discussion there. Something might change between then and now. So I would like to hear at least a little bit of input. We don't have answers from the rest of the board. You got to get a sense of where we might go on the 21st.
Or if you have questions of us or questions of Saul that you'd like us to research and come back on the 21st.
Correct, and that's part of why I want to have the board talk a little bit while Saul's here. So I don't want to wait till the 21st and we get back into it again and have to make a decision at that time.
If I heard you correctly early on in the conversation, Saul, you mentioned the fact that the payment, quote unquote payment, under the top was going to be $430,000, and under the bottom would be $373,000. Is that correct?
Correct. And okay. The bottom $373,000 until 2042.
Sure.
Correct.
Well, how does that fit into our 5-year rate study? What numbers do we use for the 5-year rate study? I mean, do we have? I mean. So if we have a difference of roughly $60,000 or $57,000 between the two options, when we did the rate study, what did we build into it for a cost?
Good point.
That's a good question.
So do we want to? So do we have a limited decision to make here, or do we have a?
Good point.
Great. Nope. Thank you. We'll research that and come back at the next meeting with that.
My
good point.
My suspicion is that it assumed the top scenario.
I would like to think you're correct. Because otherwise we lose flexibility. But
your hands are going to be tight.
Yeah.
I'm off of the portfolio right now.
I've got to import the portfolio level. I'd like to keep the rate down as far as we can. Interest rates are historically low, and I think we should take advantage of that. And we're looking 26 years out, so I'm not sure what's going to happen in 26 years, but I know it's 4. Whatever percent's going to be a pretty good deal right now.
So, Bill, I'm a finance guy, but I'm not this deep of a finance guy. There's no difference in interest rate between either one of these two selections.
There's a difference in interest cost. Mm-hmm. There's a difference in interest cost. But remember, the bonds that are being considered here are going to be fully amortizing 30-year bonds. So there's going to be a principal amortization in 2017 through 2047. Those interest rates are going to be the same in either scenario, but the interest rates in 2047 are going to be higher than in 2017. And in the wrap scenario, you're pushing more principal out at a higher rate. So that, therefore, it's a more expensive.
Right. That's what.
Yeah.
It's not expensive now. It's expensive then. It's more expensive then. In 2040, whatever. 2040.
Yes. But if you were to look at it in terms of, I kind of look at it very simply, kind of like an annual percentage rate, which most people are familiar with.
Okay.
An annual percentage rate takes in and one that takes into account the time value of money and all cost of issuance. This is what the TIC, the all-in TIC, represents, an APR and time value of money and all cost of issuance, all baked in. And so if somebody were to say, oh, you just incurred $7.5 million of debt for your water enterprise, what was the rate or what did it cost? Well, the answer would be based on prevailing interest rates, which are incorporated here, 4.3. So, and that is more expensive than 4.18. Now,
but that's 0.12%, which is like, right?
Well, it's 12 basis points. You're right, but when you're talking about millions of dollars, it makes it does make a difference.
Yeah, it's some difference.
I have one more comment too. Based on, I got to think about this a little bit more, but based on your comment about the premium that would have to be paid for an early call provision, I'm kind of disinclined to pay that premium for a 5-year call rather than doing a standard.
I would agree with that too.
As your advisor, we're your fiduciary. We have a duty of not only to put the district's interests ahead of our own, but a duty of loyalty and a duty of expertise and confidence. If you were to ask for my advice, I would want to hear a compelling reason to incur the additional expense associated with an extraordinary redemption provision. And
well said.
And I would, so I would like to, in order to help guide you, I would like to hear that. What we've been doing up to now is we simply want to be responsive to your, you've asked for some various scenarios, we want to provide that to you. But now if you were to say, Saul, let's really talk about what makes sense long-term strategically, give us some advice, I'd say, well, make a compelling case for incurring the additional cost.
I would agree with that.
So, Saul, you said that we can't make a bad decision. Is that true?
Yeah.
What though is the exposure or risks of one versus the other?
The reason I said that you can't make a bad decision is because these decisions require an opinion about a number of things, not the least of which is the future direction of interest rates and the future debt that the district may need to incur over the next 5, 10, 20 years. And in order to make those with perfection, you need a crystal ball, obviously, which none of us have. The pros and cons would be that you would push principal out far and interest rates drop and stay there. And you'd be going, well, shoot, I just, I could have amortized that debt at a lower rate. And here I did is I locked it all up at a higher rate. That's an example of some of the pros and cons. And that's why it's important to have an opinion about the future direction of interest rates, because the question that we have is, when you amortize principal over a term of 30 years, are you being adequately compensated for amortizing that principal?
If it, in a very steep yield curve environment, for example, you're not really being you're not really being compensated for amortizing principal because, for example, you might be able to earn more on your money than you're paying in debt service. So those are some of the the strategic considerations. Unfortunately, most governing bodies don't think like this, but a lot of governing bodies have investment committees, and they spend a lot of time on investment management, relatively little time on debt or liability management. And so what you're being faced with here are some strategic liability management considerations that are important to think about.
I tend to agree. I think a level debt service at the portfolio level, in my opinion, would probably be the better way to go. And just for the reasons you mentioned, if interest rates historically over the last 40 years, the chart that you had said that interest rates have never been down, are down in the, at this particular level, it's only been down there for
less than 15% of the time over the last 47 years.
Right. So if we have to use whatever crystal ball we have at this moment, I feel that interest rates will definitely be higher than they are today in 2047. I won't be here. None of us will be here. But the downside risk that it be lower 25 years from now, I don't think that they'd be any lower than they are today in 25 years. So that's kind of my direction to staff and to the rest of the board. So I'm not sure if anybody wants to be a little more specific. Are we making a decision today that the direct Saul and staff to kind of do the portfolio scenario?
Portfolio scenario without the extraordinary.
Yep. Correct.
The just budget, the normal standard 10-year call center.
Yeah. And the exposure to go without the extraordinary?
Same thing.
What that would mean is that there would not be the optionality of redeeming bonds earlier than 10 years due to an extraordinary infusion of funds.
Okay. And just the word extraordinary makes it pretty simple. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And again, that consideration, that notion needs to be considered in the mindset of, well, what do I think the interest rate environment would be in that scenario? Would I want to pay off? But I want to pay down relatively inexpensive.
If the interest rate, let's give it an example. Today's interest rate was 20%.
Yeah.
We might want to do that average interest rate won't be that high for that long. We want to have flexibility to call that, but we're going in the opposite direction. So
that's why I say in order to make a well-informed decision about these considerations, unfortunately, you have to have an opinion.
Right.
We're going to be wrong, no matter what. But in order to make a well-informed decision, you got to use the data that you have at your disposal and make the best decision possible.
So
that's why I said there's not a wrong decision.
All right. I think the board
is making the decision now. Bring back the report. We have to bring back a report.
We're not making this. We are making. We're giving staff
giving direction.
And our consultants to go with the portfolio option, the non-extraordinary redemption call.
Sure.
And that's what we're doing.
For me personally, the most important thing is that you had an opportunity to air this out.
Based on what you've given us, I feel comfortable. It's a tough decision to make. We're giving debt to the district out to 2047. We have to do it because of what we've been mandated by the state to build the filtration facility. And I feel comfortable making the decision I'm trying to make today based on the interest rates and the information you've given us. So,
President Pease, before you give final direction, can I suggest that you take public comment?
Yes. So at that particular time, if the eyes are not glassed over, is there any public comment? Yes, sir.
My question is,
please come up.
You need to come to the podium.
Can you put back up the first slide? increase on the top one, you're concerned with that blank spot. Why?
The district is a...
Mr. President, please, can you have him complete his comments and questions, and then if the advisor can, so we don't have a back and forth exchange. Right. Thank you.
Okay. That's your one question.
Well, I have a question, and then I will give you an opinion.
Why don't you just give us your opinion now?
I think the least amount of debt that you can incur is the best progress, the best thing to do. And the bottom one, you have more debt. Top one, you have less debt.
Thank you. Any other public comment? Seeing another comment? Public comments are closed. Okay. Does anybody have any other?
Yes.
With that information, anyone else?
No, my eyes are going still.
Could you respond to his question and?
Sure.
Thank you.
Sure. My response is similar to what I said before. The district is a perpetual entity, and as a perpetual entity tasked with the critical thing that it's tasked with doing, in this case, wastewater collection and treatment, there is going to need to be mission-critical capital projects to be funded in the future out of either reserves, and if not reserves, then debt. I prize optionality and in my advice. And the top scenario provides an option to incur future debt, amortize that debt, to incur future debt and amortize the debt in a manner which, if interest rates are higher in the future, are going to have the least impact on the district.
That would be the top scenario, correct?
The bottom scenario. This represents, to respond directly to the question, this represents an area where in the future, if interest rates are higher and the district wanted to have, for budgeting purposes, for example, level debt service, that represents an area where the debt would be most expensive.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that explanation.
Sure.
It appears we're still on the right track. Okay, does staff have enough information to
Yes.
Okay.
Without objection, I understand that your direction is to move on the portfolio side, and I'll bring back a report on the 21st for final action.
Please.
Correct.
Hearing none.
I heard portfolio and without the extraordinary objection.
That's
exactly.
Correct.
Do we need formal action to accept this report?
Okay. The direction is sufficient.
Okay.
Thank you. You got the extent of my bond knowledge on my first question, so I was tapped out afterwards, so thank you.
Thank you so very much. It's a difficult information to bring to lay people, but you did a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you. My pleasure. And you look like you enjoyed it.
Yes, he does.
Okay. At this point, we're going to go to manager's report. Do we have any of those left?
No. Brian's still there. Brian, do you want to come up and say a few things about the roof?
Maybe give us an update on the roof.
Yeah. Which looks very nice.
Good evening, board members. We're about 95% complete on the roofing project. Happy to say we didn't sustain any damage inside the building during the process. We managed to get through the rains with no problems. We have some window trim to do still. They installed the siding today. And we still have some of the larger windows.
You've got to talk fast, Brian. Can you slow it down?
I don't. It's a movie.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Other than that, it's pretty much done. Then we're going to prime and paint the siding. We were going to start that today, but the weather was too cold. We need 50-degree weather to do the priming and the painting. But the roof itself looks really good. We
like I said, we managed to get through with no problems. We had to replace the paper after they installed it. There was a defect, the manufacturer came out and covered the cost of the paper, and I don't know what he worked out with the contractor as far as the labor cost go.
What, it may be mentioned, it maybe I didn't hear. You say you're 95% complete. You hope to have it all buttoned up by?
I'm hoping by the end of next week.
Okay. All right.
Because we need to get a little bit of
information.
Yeah, that's nice.
Nice job. Thanks.
Yeah, really nice job.
Okay. With that,
they're like that. By Discovery Bay.
Presentations are done. I have no extra report. I haven't been in any meetings with any other board directors.
I just wanted to comment on the Craig Lights and the community center and all the people. I got a lot of positive feedback on what we've been doing for the facility and the community landscaping areas, and our main thoroughfares are well tended to, and the front entrance is great. Thank you.
Yeah, front entrance is fantastic.
Oh, Brian, is a
go ahead.
Not pointing any fingers. I'm not saying that they are. There's a bunch of political signs at the front gate, at the front entrance, that are all piled in the corner right there. Can we get those picked up?
Yes, you can.
Six or seven of them. You don't really hardly even see them because they're laying flat. And I believe that they're from out-of-district people.
They definitely are. Ours have been retrieved and put away for future days.
It just like looks like there's five or six of them from maybe Dave Miller or something else out there. Yeah.
I've got mine.
In fact, Steve Barr's actually got one up still over across from the Chevron station. We need to get down too.
Take anything down as you see them. General manager's report.
None.
Okay. District legal.
No, but we are going to play a little fast and loose with the agenda when you get to the bottom. So I'll help you get through because you're not going to adjourn yet.
All right. Subcommittee reports, correspondence received, the future agenda items. Okay.
Excuse me, I have a future agenda. I would like to have the, about a year or so ago, I shouldn't even say that, a while back, could have been a year, could have been longer, the HOA at the country club brought a report to the district for us to look at with regards to the moving of the guard shack, which is a great idea. Moves it further off the street. It's traffic off of Discovery Bay Boulevard. We approved it with no negative comment, but at the time, the HOA did not mention anything about any temporary structures or change in traffic patterns that may affect the rest of Discovery Bay. I would like to have that item brought back to the board to look at, because in going down to the boardwalk, I noticed that there's a temporary structure on Marina, which may cause a safety and traffic issue.
I agree. I'm on the HOA board, fully exposed. That was discussed today. We're going to move that back closer to the gate that's there, so it doesn't have an ingress and egress view problem.
But my concern is for people that live along Marina and then also want to go down to the, well, we should not discuss this now.
Yeah, may I ask if we don't discuss it, but make a decision to place
Sorry.
It on
you and I can discuss this afterwards.
Yeah, that's
on the agenda for the 21st, if you wish.
Yeah,
let you two discuss it outside of this. If you still need it on the agenda, you'll notify Kathy.
Yeah, we're aware of it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
One more thing. Are we going to have a January workshop? Are we scheduled that yet? Can we get that on the calendar?
Yes, we can.
Tonight?
No. Well, we don't. I don't know if
that's going to do that.
We can bring that, Director Steele. I can put that item on the agenda and make a notation on the 21st agenda for that date. And if you want to communicate with me separately about any preferred dates, just let me know.
Okay. With that, we'll go to item R. I'll turn that over to you. Okay.
So we're going to adjourn the regular meeting, but we're going to adjourn it to a specific time, and the adjournment is to after the holding of the public finance meeting. We have a public finance meeting that we need to have first, and after the completion of that public finance meeting, we will come back into the regular agenda.
Okay. So at this time, we'll open up the Public Financing Authority meeting. Roll call, please.
President Pease?
Here.
Vice President Lee?
Here.
Director Graves?
I'm here.
Director Mayer?
Here.
Director Steele?
Here.
And we did a pledge of allegiance at the other meeting, so I'm not sure we need one now. Is there any public comments on public finance? Seeing none, I'll close public comments and go to new business. Staff, please.
Thank you. Dina, did you want to make any comments on this item?
All the money has been expended.
Great, just for the record. So we'll put this on the record, which is, from my perspective, good news. You always want to make sure that your bond money has been expended, and it has been expended. And Dina, what is, could you, for the board, identify the amount that was expended over the bond amount? Do you have that? And if not, we can just put that on a notation for the future. Okay, well, that's okay. But the notation for you is that all of the bond proceeds have been expended.
And for the public's information, those bond proceeds have to be expended by a certain date, or there's consequences on our side. So we're, with this meeting, we're meeting our obligations to the bonds. Thank you.
Question that maybe legal might know the answer. Do we continue to have these meetings even though the bond, do we have these yearly meetings every year until the bonds are paid off? Is that correct? Yes, sir. Okay. Is that because of the JPA? Or because of the bonds? Yes. Okay. Thank you.
You will be
The answer.
You will be issuing new bonds, so there will be an ongoing need for it regardless.
Gotcha. Which is why I said yes. Mm-hmm.
Somebody would be sitting here doing this in 2047.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
Mm-hmm. Definitely not me. Okay. Now we'll do.
Need a motion?
Need a motion to
accept the report.
I will make that motion.
And I will second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Okay, now we'll go to close session.
Nope, we are going to, you're actually going to adjourn the Public Finance Authority meeting.
Okay, the Public Finance Authority is now adjourned.
Excellent, and that will, and you're going to adjourn it into reconvening the regular board meeting of the Town of Discovery Bay.
Yes, we do.
And you are on item R. And item R for the public, where the Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors is going to go into closed session. Under items R1 and 2, and we'll adjourn that meeting and reconvene the special meeting to cover the item number 3 on the special meeting agenda.
Thank you.